Morning, everybody. Thank you, Stuart. He's not here, but that's okay. Thank him anyway. Thank you, Stuart, for taking care of the daf over Shabbos as I vacationed in Hollywood. I'm going to stop there, just leave it right there. We are on Kufnun Aleph. Today we are starting at the very bottom of Kufnun Amud Beis. We're starting with Klal Amar Abba Shaul. And let's take a quick look back at the Mishnah so that we understand what the Gemara is going to try to figure out. If you go back to the Mishnah on the very top of the Amud on Kufnun Amud Aleph, so you can't hire workers on Shabbos. You can't hire workers on Shabbos. You can't instruct others to hire workers on Shabbos. And you can't be machshich ala tchum. That's a concept which you're going to hear a lot. You heard it yesterday. You're going to hear some of it again today. And that basically means, look, we know that on Shabbos you can't go within a certain boundary of where your city ends. So wherever your city ends, you're going to go 2,000 amos outside of that, and that's it. That is the boundary of Shabbos, Tchum Shabbos. Masechta Erevin, which is coming up in just about a week, actually a week, Sunday, we start Erevin. So we're going to hear a lot about this idea of Tchum. So in the meantime, however, what you can't do on Shabbos, you can't go to the edge of Tchum, you're not going to go past Tchum, that's Aser, but you can't even go on Shabbos to the edge of Tchum in order to do things which are forbidden to do on Shabbos. So you can't go to the edge of Tchum to hire workers or to bring in fruit. Aval, however, the mission goes on to say, what you can do, however, is you can go to the edge of Tchum so that right after Shabbos you'll be there to guard your fruit and your fields. Or you'll be there at the edge of Shabbos in order so that you can bring your fruit in biado. I'm sorry, yeah. So, klal amar Abba Shaul, and then Abba Shaul says, here's the rule. Kol shani zaka ba'amirasa rashani la'achshech alav. Anything which I can instruct others to do, I could be machshech. Okay, that is the statement of Abba Shaul. So the Gemara now just wants to understand, Abba Shaul is obviously making a very general rule, and it's launched off the Mishnah, but it's not really clear, first of all, what his rule is, and secondly, what point is he launching off of? So with all that stated, now we know what the problem is, so let's see what the solution is. We start our Gemara today on the very bottom of Kufnun on the base, and Abba Shaul Ahaya. So the Gemara's question, first of all, is, on what part of the Mishnah is Abba Shaul launching off of? Elay my Reisha Kai, so is he going on the Reisha? Emach Sheikhan al Tchum Liskor Po'om Ma'avi Peros. So the Reisha of the Mishnah says that you can't go to the Tchum, you can't go to the edge of Tchum in order to hire workers or to bring in fruit. And then, Hai Kol She'ani Zaka Ba'amirisa Rashai, Ani B'chashaycha, so Kol She'ini Zaka Ba'amirisa, Ani Rashai B'chashaycha, so. If Abba Shaul is launching off the first point of the Mishnah, so he shouldn't be saying something positive, he should be saying something negative. Because the first part of the Mishnah is giving us something that you cannot do. So then Abba Shaul, if he's launching off of that, he says, well, just like you can't do this, you can't do that as well. So the fact that Abba Shaul is making a positive comment means by definition it can't be going on the first part of the Mishnah. Good. So, Ela Aseifakai. So now that we've rejected that possibility, so now let's go to the next part of the Mishnah. But what you can do in the Mishnah is you can go right to the edge of Tchum in order to you can guard your field, so you can be a shomer. So now that's the second part of the Mishnah, and that's a positive statement. Here's the problem. But then, what Abba Shaul should be doing is flipping his rule. Because the whole point of the Mishnah is that you could be machshich al tchum. And then what Abba Shaul says, well, just like you could be machshich al tchum, so too can you instruct others to do it on Shabbos. Okay, so in other words, I can instruct somebody else to be a shomer. Just like I could be machshich to be a shomer, so too I can instruct somebody else to be a shomer. But if you look back at the Mishnah and you read Abba Shaul again, he's the other way around. He says that anything that I could be Omer, I could be Machshech. So again, it just doesn't fit. So the Gemara is going to now make a third attempt. Not really. Sorry. It's going to stick with this basic approach, but it's going to squeeze it into the Mishnah. So the Gemara says like this. So we're going to have Abba Shaul going on the Sefer. V'Abba Shaul HaKai. The Amr of Yiram HaShmuel. The Gemara says like this. The starting point of the whole discussion is a statement made by Shmuel. Now granted Shmuel's an Amora, but as Rashi points out, the Gemara is going to assume now we all agree to what Shmuel's about to say. And what he says is the following. Mutal la'adam l'om l'chaver shmur li perish b'tchumcha v'aniya shmur l'cha perish b'tchumi. Okay, what you could do is you could make the following agreement of reciprocity with somebody else. And you could say to them, look, I'll watch your field, and you watch my field. Right now I can't access my field, it's outside of my tchum, so, but it's within your tchum, so you'll watch my field, and at a reciprocity, I'll watch your field. I'll be a shomer in your peros, and you can't access your peros, but I can, so I'll watch yours. So this is an agreement that two people can make on Shabbos. It's just shmira. We're just talking about watching a field, which violates no malacha on Shabbos. Fine.
There's no issue of who did the hole with
this? Apparently not. I mean, it's just to be a shomer. The Gemara is assuming that it's fine. You're right. The kama b'shol tanakama mila modis. So now, again, it's a statement by Shmuel, but as Rashi explains, everyone agrees to the statement of Shmuel. So now, with that in mind, now we are beginning to understand the exchange argument. Sorry, the positions in the Mishnah. So, for example, the kama b'shol tanakama. Abba Shaul then turns to the Tanakam and says to him, "Mila modis de muta adam lamal chaver shmoli perosh betchumcha veinish molcha perosh betchumi." So you agree with me to that point. The ema. So now let's just take it one step further. Kosha ani zaka ba amiraso rashai nilach shechalav. So once you're in agreement with me to that point, and that's a point of amira. Now, let's just take it one step further. Now we'll take it to its next logical step. If I can instruct somebody to be a shomer, I can't be machshich, I can't go to the edge of Tchum and Shabbos in order so that I myself could be a shomer on my fruit, so that the moment the Shabbos ends, I'll just simply step over the Tchum and I'll be shomer. So now you understand how the starting point in the discussion of Abba Shaul was Amira. Because now what the Gemara is explaining is, we all agree in Amira, I can ask somebody to be a Shomer, and now all Abba Shaul is doing is just simply taking it to its logical conclusion. If I can ask someone to do something for me on Shabbos, i.e. being a Shomer, so I myself could be Machshich al Tchum. Good. Now we have a very clean interpretation of what Abba Shaul was saying in the Mishnah, and how we started from Amira to the point of being Machshich, and now all the Gemara wants to now know is, Klal Asui Emai. When he says klal amar b'shal, I'm saying a big rule, a general rule. So what is it coming to include? The Tanur Rabban, the Gemara quotes a brisa, machshich al tchum lahavi behema. A person can be machshich al tchum. Let's say the animal's lost, the animal ran outside of tchum, so he runs to the edge of tchum in order to bring back his animal. So the brisa says he can't do that. Haisa manis chutz at tchum korei lavi hiba. If the animal happens to be standing right outside of tchum and you're right within tchum, you can call the animal back. Klal Amar Abashol Koshan Izaka Bamirasa Rashani Lahakshechalav. Abashol says that if I can ask somebody to do something for me on Shabbos, I can be machshich, I can go to the edge of Tchum for it as well. So, for example, let's say that a cow needs to be taken care of. And you need to solicit funds for her, you need to go to the caterer, whatever you need to do for the cow. Or there's a mace. Where, obviously on Shabbos, you can't do anything for the mace, but right after Shabbos, you're going to take care of things, and it would help if you had a little bit of a jump start. Jump start over here means going to the edge of Tchum, so that right after Shabbos, you'll be in a position where you can take care of the mace immediately after Shabbos. So those are things that you can instruct others to do. Those are things which can be machshich as well. So, you can go right to the edge of Tchum so that right after Shabbos you can prepare the Aron, the shrouds. And you can give very clear instructions about here, go here for the Aron. Now, if they don't have wood over there, so go there for the wood. And you can give very clear instructions on Shabbos, obviously, for after Shabbos. And you can even talk about prices. Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Elvashalo, Yaskelos, Kumekach. The only qualification that is made by Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, is don't mention the skum, don't mention the precise amount that's not within Kavod HaShabbos, to mention the exact amount. Okay? Why is this such a controversial point over here? I'm not sure. But in other words, but certainly the point being is that if it's for its bar mitzvah, so I can ask others to do it on Shabbos.
We said that before.
Agreed. And then what Rabbi Yossi is going with it, I'm sorry, Avishol is going with it, is that not only can you instruct others to do it, but in addition to that, you could also be machshech al tchum. And when the Mishnah says klal amar Avishol, the Avishol is giving us this big rule, so now we understand that the big rule is coming to include all dvar mitzvah. Taking care of chasam v'kala, taking care of a mace, all big rules in Shabbos can be attended to, even if it means that you're going to either instruct others to do it, or be machshech al tchum. Okay. We now are continuing. We're on the Mishnah in the middle of Kufnun Aleph Amud Aleph. Machshechen al atchum lafakech al iske kal val iske ames. Lahavilo aron v'tachrich. Now that we just finished the Gemara and we start the new Mishnah, so now we know this new Mishnah. By the way, who is it following? It's following the position of Avishol, which gives a good indication that this, in fact, is a halacha. So you can go right to the edge of tchum in order to deal with a kala, right? To take care of whatever the kala needs. And also iske ames. In other words, and we're going to learn today. Today is really the daf for taking care of the dead body. Daf Kufnun Aleph 151. This is the daf and taking care of the mace. La'avilo aron v'tachrichin. Here the Mishnah just simply talks about preparing the aron, preparing the tachrichin, the coffin and the shrouds. Nachri shahavi chalilam b'shabbos lo yisman liyisrael ela im kein bal mimakom karov. Now. In the old days, it's not done anymore, but for the hesper, for the eulogy, so they would bring instruments. Playing instruments at the eulogy. Okay, I know in other cultures it's still done. In the army it's done, but we don't do it anymore. We don't have the any type of instruments being played at the funeral and for the eulogy. The Mishnah over here deals with the following scenario. What if a non-Jew brings you the chalilim on Shabbos? Now, obviously, we're not doing the burial on Shabbos, obviously, and we're not playing any instruments on Shabbos, obviously. The only question becomes, he brought it for me, meaning the non-Jew brought it for a Jew on Shabbos, so can I use them after Shabbos? Now, in general, what do we say? We say that, first of all, we cannot benefit from any malacha that's done for us by a non-Jew on Shabbos. Kuf Chaf Aleph, if you remember, Kuf Chaf Aleph, Kuf Chaf Beis, the Gemara talked about the issues of Amir Lanachri, instructing a non-Jew to do malacha for you, and benefiting from any malacha that a non-Jew did for you. So over here, the Mishnah assumes that we remember all that. So you're not allowed to benefit from any malacha that's done for us by a non-Jew if he brings flutes for us, and even though they're not going to be used on Shabbos, even though they're going to be used for after Shabbos, but we're benefiting, because right now, we don't have to go and get them, we're benefiting from these flutes. So therefore, the Mishnah says that the Nachri, Shehevi, Chalim, B'Shabbos, Lo Yisba, Bam Yisrael, Ela, Im, Kein, Ba, Mim, Makum, Karav. The only way we could use the flutes is only if they came from Makum, Karav. Now, on the simplest level, what that means is, as long as he was within Tchum. As long as the flutes were within Tchum. So therefore, the Nachri violated no Issur Shabbos to bring him to me. I mean, maybe you could talk about... Moksa. I mean, you could talk Moksa, but that's... I mean, Moksa is an Issur Rabbanan. Maybe from a Rishus HaRabim to Rishus HaYachid. But point being is that there, it wasn't from outside of Tchum, it was within Tchum. That's a simple understanding of the Mishnah. As long as they were within Tchum, so you could benefit from these flutes. Asu lo arv v'chafer lo kevri kavar bo Yisrael. Now, let's say the grave diggers dug a grave, and the coffin makers made a coffin. And now after Shabbos, you had a mace on Shabbos, now after Shabbos, you're looking around to get an aron, so you can use the aron that was made by the coffin maker. And you can bury the person in the plot that was dug by the grave digger, even though these acts were done on Shabbos. Now, these acts obviously violate Isuri de Araisa. They were done by a non-Jew. Digging a grave is chofer. Making an aron, makabepatish, whatever you want to call it, binyan, I know it's building by kalim, but binyan makabepatish, in other words, but The point being in the Mishnah, as long as he didn't make it for you, he just made it for sale, and he didn't make it specifically for you, so then you could buy it. However, in Bishvil Yisrael, lo yikaver bo olamis. However, if, let's say, the non-Jew finds out that a Jew died on Shabbos, and therefore, to make the sale immediately after Shabbos, he digs the grave on Shabbos for the Jew, or he makes the coffin on Shabbos for the Jew, says the Mishnah, lo yikaver bo olamis. Then you can't use it, and you can never use it. Okay. Obviously, much to discuss over here. Let's start off with the following. The Gemara wants to know now, when the Mishnah says, the Mishnah is talking about the non-Jew bringing the flutes on Shabbos. And the Mishnah says, as long as it's coming from Makom Karov, it's fine. But if it's coming from outside of Tchum, so then you cannot use the Chalilim, you cannot use the flutes. The Gemara just now has a very basic discussion. Mai mi Makom Karov. When the Mishnah says it comes from a close place, what does the Mishnah mean by that? Rav Amar mi makom karov mamish ushmo amar cheshin en shem echutz chama lanu. So we have two positions. Rav's position is the easiest one because it really is the simple pshat of the Mishnah. Makom karov means within tchum. So that means that if I know it came within tchum, you can use the flutes immediately after Shabbos. However, if it came from outside of tchum, so then I cannot use them on Shabbos. Okay? And what if, in other words, so I have, for Rav, either two positions. Either I know it came within Tchum, or it came from outside of Tchum. What if I don't know, according to Rav? What if I'm unsure about whether it came from within without Tchum? In other words, the non-Jew brought it, but I simply don't know. So, you assume, according to Rav, that it came from outside of Tchum. We're going to be machmir, according to Rav. Now, Shmuel says Chayshinan. Now, usually in the Gemara, when you see the word chayshinan, that means that we're going to be more cautious. Interestingly, here, that's not what chayshinan means. In our Gemara, when Shmuel says chayshinan in this context means that if I don't know whether it came from within Tchum or outside of Tchum, we can be mekel. Take a look at Rashi. I'm not going to read Rashi right now. Rashi cites another place in Shas, Gemara and Chagiga, where we see the word chayshinan mean that we're going to be more mekel. So this is, it's not usual, but here that's what Shmuel means. Chayshinan, I'm worried, but worried is not a good translation. But we can suspect, we can assume, shema chutz chama lanu, that it came from outside of Tchum. So, according to Shmuel, if I know it came from outside of Tchum, so that'll be a problem. But if I don't know, so then we can say it came from within Tchum. And then we could use it. Now, as to Phil's point, right, what kind of issur are we talking about over here? Nisa d'oraisa, nisa d'rabbanan. Well, you didn't do anything. In other words, this malacha that was done for you was done by a non-Jew. So this is malacha done by a non-Jew for a Jew. So hard to call nisa d'oraisa, probably not nisa d'oraisa. We're talking about nisa d'rabbanan, and perhaps that's why Shmuel happens to be more makel on this issue. Now, the Gemara over here is going to get a little bit complicated by the fact that there are two girsos running in our Gemara, one that I'm going to read in the Gemara itself, and one that is supported by Rashi. So what I will do now, over the next couple of minutes, I'll read our Gemara as we have it, and then I will show you how Rashi's girsa in the Gemara works. It's going to be a little bit different. But first, our Gemara. If you read our Mishnah carefully, our Mishnah supports the position of Shmuel. Diktani, because our Mishnah writes, that if the non-Jew made a coffin on Shabbos, or if the non-Jew dug the grave on Shabbos, so you could use it. Amen misfeka shari. Now, what do you know about this, Aaron? What do you know about the grave that was just dug? Not a whole lot. Meaning, you don't have to do any type of investigation. Did he do it for you? Well, I don't know. And the Mishnah sounds like, don't bother. Don't bother investigating. Go ahead, use it. Okay, because we can suspect that maybe he made it for a non-Jew. However, So similarly, in our case being the Chalilim, the flutes, if he brought it for you, assume he was within Tchum, I don't have to do any investigation. If I know for a fact that it came with outside of Tchum, so that'll be an issue. But if I don't know, it's okay. So, according to this Girsa, our Mishnah supports Shmuel. Tanya Kavase, the Rav, and then we have a Braisa that supports Rav. The Braisa reads as follows. Irshi Yisrael v'nachrim darimba. If I have a city where I have non-Jews and Jews living in the city, v'haisaba merchatz hamarchetz is b'shabbos, and there is a bathhouse in the city. Now, we're not going to go to the bathhouse on Shabbos, that's prohibited. Good. How about right after Shabbos? Right after Shabbos, we all run to the bathhouse. Now, obviously, the bath attendant heated up the water. And in order for that water to be hot right after Shabbos, that means that he heated it up on Shabbos. So, im rov nachriim, la'erev rechutz miyad, says the Braisa, if the majority of the Jews in the town are non-Jews, so go, right? Enjoy the bathhouse, it's fine. Why? Because when they heated it up, they were thinking about the majority of the city. The majority of the city were non-Jews, so now you have a non-Jew doing a malacha for a non-Jew. That's nothing. That's not a concern whatsoever. That's fine. It's totally fine. However, im rov Yisrael yamtim ad kedei shiachmu chamin. So, if, however, the majority of the members of the city are Jewish, so that means when the bath attendant was heating up the water on Shabbos, who did he have in mind? The majority of the people. Who are the majority of the people in the city? Jews. So therefore, you're having a non-Jew do a malacha for a Jew on Shabbos. So after Shabbos, you cannot benefit from it. So what do? You wait. You wait until bichdei shiyasu, the amount of time that it takes for the water to heat up, and then you could go to the bathhouse. And finally, mechza al mechza. Now, what if it's the population is split right down the middle, half Jew, half non-Jew? Ad kedei shiachmu chamin. So, I'm sorry, the girsa here is really tricky. Yamtin, right, we're going to add one word. If the parentheses have the words asav yamtin, we're just going to say yamtin ad kedesh yach muhammin, so you wait. And then Rabbi Yehuda omer, ba'ambati katani, mishba rashos rochitz ba'miyad. And then there's a position, Rabbi Yehuda, which right now I'm going to gloss over, but let's just now say the girsa of our Gemara as we have it presented. This is a proof for Rav. How is this a proof for Rav? Because consider what we just learned. If the population of the city goes right down the middle, half are Jew and half are non-Jew. So what we have now is a bona fide suffix. We literally are unsure. When the bath attendant heated up the water, was he had a Jew in mind or he had a non-Jew in mind? So because the population is split 50-50, so this is now a legitimate suffix. Good. And what did the Braisa say? Wait. Bichdei shiyasu, you must wait. So what do you see over here? That on a suffix whether a non-Jew did a malacha for a Jew on Shabbos, and it's a bona fide suffix, we need to be machmir. Whose side is that Braisa taking? Rav's side or Shmuel's side? It's really taking Rav's side. Because Rav says that when the chalul came in, and I don't know where the chalul came from, so Rav says we're going to be machmir. Don't enjoy the chalul, don't take the chalul. Okay, that is our gear stuff. The Gemara now, let me go over the statement to Rabbi Yehuda of the Braisa. I glossed over it. Let me go back now and read it and get inside. And Rabbi Yehuda Omer, what just happened? I lost my place. There we go. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Ba'amati Kitana, if it's a small bathhouse, Im Yesh Barashus, if there's a really important person in town, Rochets Ba'miyat, so then you can enjoy the bathhouse right away. What's going on over here? My Rashus, what does that mean when it says Rashus? I'm Rav Yehuda, I'm Rav Yitzchak, Braid Rav Yehuda, Imesh Ba'adam Chashuv, Sheishlo Asara Avadim. Let's say it's an Adam Chashuv, like there's a really important person in town, where he has a lot of attendance. Shemecham lo yud kum kumim bevasachas. Where, in a day and age where there was no microwave, there was a way to quickly heat up water, which is, don't heat up the entire bath at once, it takes time, but everyone's going to have a little kettle, a little pot, right after Shabbos, you light it up, you heat up those little kettles boil pretty quickly, and now, 10 little kettles poured into the bath, and then instant bathhouse. Ba'ambati katani motor lechotz ba'miyad. Because it's possible slash probable that this bathhouse was heated up immediately after Shabbos, so there was no malacha that was done in terms of heating up this bathhouse after Shabbos. So under the circumstances where A, it's a small bathhouse, and B, there's somebody chashev in the city that they would do this for, so then you can enjoy the bathhouse. Okay, that's the position of Rabbi Yehuda. But the larger point of the Braisa, however, is that mechza mechza, you have to be machmir, and that's why it supports Rav. Okay, now,
when the mitzvah says with a chalil case, then he says the Jew cannot use it. It means only be a leshiyasu.
So good, right? So, perfect. Okay, Phil, you set me up. Really, thank you very much. So, Let's go over a couple of things. First of all, I read the Gemara as we have it in our Gemara. Right? That's the Girsa of our Gemara. So first of all, based on our Girsa, let's ask a really simple question. And it's really, Phil asked the question, but let me just reiterate. And the question is, let's get this straight. I have a non-Jew that does malacha for a Jew on Shabbos. So obviously on Shabbos itself, there's nothing to talk about. You cannot benefit from that malacha. That's a given. We already learned that back on Kuf Chaf Aleph, Kuf Chaf Beis. Okay, that's a given. What about after Shabbos? So, at this point in time, we're a little bit confused, aren't we? Meaning, in the case of the bathhouse, what was the ruling of the Braisa? Wait, bichte shiase. Wait until it takes the time to boil, for the water to boil. But then, that means, whatever, an hour, 2 hours, however much time we're talking about, then go to the bathhouse. Then you're allowed to go to the bathhouse. Masha'en came when it comes to the Chalil is brought for you on Shabbos, and let's say it was brought from outside of Tchum, so that means that a malacha was performed for you by a non-Jew on Shabbos. So what did the Mishnah say? Don't use the Chalilin. Now the Mishnah gives us no sense that you could that you wait Bichtei Shiasa and then you could use it. The Mishnah says simply, don't use it. So why in the case of the bathhouse, do we have license to use it after Bichtei Shiasa? But by the Chalil, we can't use it at all. Okay, so who's questioning it? Who brings this to a point? Rashi. Rashi raises this very simple issue. It's a very straightforward issue. And Rashi suggests the following. Let me find it, because I know Rashi discussed it. Yeah. Rashi is Tanya Kavase Darav. If you want to see the Rashi inside. Okay, it's two-thirds down on the Rashis. Rashi writes, I'm reading the Rashi inside, it's fake asik, diktani mechza mechza yamtin, bichtei shiach muhammin. The imtomer. Okay, it's the first words of the line of Rashi. The imtomer, bichtei shiach muhammin miyashare, that when it comes to the bathhouse, you can use it after bichtei shiasa, v'hachatini lo yisbar behem. And when it comes to the flutes, don't use the flutes, period. Mashma la'olam. So, what's the difference? So Rashi offers the following suggestion. Hacha muchacha milsa, ava b'merchatzlo muchacha milsa kulehai, hovi ikar nachrim. Interesting answer by Rashi, and he says like this. When the flutes are brought in for the Jews, it is self-evident that the only reason, why else are flutes being brought in? Right, in other words, because there's a death in the Jewish community. The minhag back then was that for hespedim, for eulogies, we play flutes. So there's only one reason why the flutes were brought in, for the Jews. So there, it's a malacha done by a non-Jew, for a Jew, on Shabbos, and there's no other explanation in terms of why he did that, so then you can't use it. And you can't use the lolam. You can't use it forever. Masha Enke, let's go now to the case of the bathhouse, explains Rashi. Look, we have there's more Jews than non-Jews in the city. Okay? Chances are very good that when the bath attendant heated up the water, he heated up for a Jew. Because he was heating it up for this city, and the city is the majority of Jews. But there also are non-Jews in the city. There is a chance that he heated up for a non-Jew. So after Shabbos, so what do we say? Bichtei shiasa. Meaning on the side that he heated up for a Jew, so wait. Because you don't want to get any benefit for that of a malacha that was done by a non-Jew for a Jew on Shabbos, so wait, bichtei shiasa. But after bichtei shiasa, so then you can enjoy it right. Then you can enjoy it. But why after Bichtei Shiasa? Because at least there's a chance that he heated up for a non-Jew. So it wasn't exclusively done for a Jew.
In the okay? city, you were the only Jews.
It would come out, right, based on this answer of Rashi, very good. It would come out based on this answer of Rashi, that if it were only Jews, right, so then it'd be more like the case of the Chalil, and that would be an issue. Okay. So far, so good. That is one girsa of the Gemara. Rashi, let's see Rashi inside. A good place to start in Rashi. Lishna Achrinan Garsinan. So where are you going to find me in Rashi? It's about 10 lines from the bottom of Rashi, the Rashi lines. The first word in the line is Lishna Achrinan Garsinan. There's another girsa in the Gemara. Tanya Kavase de Shmuel. Velo Garcina Deka Masnisan. Meaning, so first of all, according to this Girsa, we don't look back at the Mishnah. Okay? And what we're gonna do is we're gonna only look at the Braisa. And according to this Girsa, the Braisa is not a support for Rav. The Braisa is a support for Shmuel. Now, how's that going to work? Very interesting. Listen, ad misveka shari ma'isus yatul shmul mid Rabbi Yehuda, because what the Gemara now is going to do is bring a proof for Shmuel from Rabbi Yehuda. The talina lekula. So, because what does Rabbi Yehuda say? Rabbi Yehuda says, look, right after Shabbos, go ahead, use the bathhouse. When there's an important person in the city, and there is a way, it means, of that bathhouse being heated up right after Shabbos. Now, we're giving a suggestion in terms of how that water could be heated up right after Shabbos. Do we know that all that water was heated up immediately after Shabbos? We don't know. It's simply a plausible explanation in terms of how it happened. And yet, Rabbi Yehuda says, it's fine. So you, the Jew, can go into that bathhouse right away, provided it's small, and provided there's an Adam Chashev in town. So now, that is how the Bryce is supporting Shmuel's position. We don't know, and yet we could be Mekel. Now, take a step back in the Bryce, though. Rashi explains, what are we going to do with the first half of the Braisa? So Rashi says, don't worry about the first half of the Braisa. Because in the first half of the Braisa, what do we say? Mechza, mechza, half and half. And what, when I first presented that Braisa, I said, that's a suffix. Rashi says, no, it's not. Mechza, mechza is not a suffix. Because let's think this through. I have a bath attendant who has a public bathhouse, which means he has a whole city in mind when he is heating up the bathhouse. So, if the population of the city is exactly half and half, he's not heating it up for one person. He's heating it up for the city. So, in other words, we're going to take a sample representation of the city. Well, what's a representative sample of the city? Well, one Jew and one non-Jew. So, in other words, Rashi explains, that's not a suffake. I'm heating it up for a Jew. When it's mechza al mechza, that's heating it up for a Jew, because I don't look at individuals, I look at representative samples of the city. It's one Jew and one non-Jew. Okay, so Rashi says, so the whole part of the Braisa is really coming into support Shmuel, and notably the statement at the end of the Braisa of Rabbi Huda regarding the small bathhouse. Okay, would come out then, according to this Girsa, that the Gemara is really leaning to the side of Shmuel. Meaning, what's the big difference between our Girsa and Rashi's Girsa? I mean, the obvious first difference is our Girsa is supporting Rav, and Rashi's Girsa is supporting Shmuel. But the secondary difference is who is the Gemara really turning to in terms of who the halacha should follow? According to our Girsa, our Gemara is really supporting Rav. According to Rashi's Girsa, our Gemara is supporting Shmuel. Okay, that obviously makes a huge difference. One last part to do before we start the next Mishnah. Asul la'arim v'chafalu kever. Amai ha'chanami yamtim b'chdei shi'asa. Rashi wonders. We have the grave digger. We have the coffin maker. And they make a grave, or they dig a coffin. Did I just say that? They make a coffin and they dig a grave on Shabbos. So what did the Mishnah say? We can't use it. So why not? Meaning, wait b'chdei shi'asu. Like the case of the bathhouse. So Amr Ula ba'omri basratya. So Ula says, we're talking about where the grave was dug, right by the street. And interestingly, in the times of the Mishnah and the Gemara, Jews were not buried there. Jews were not buried right along the street. Only non-Jews were buried. And so therefore, when he digs the grave, he dug it specific. Sorry, did I say it the other way around? No. Right. So the Ba'omid Basrach, he dug it right by the street. Jews are not buried by the street. Fine. So Tenach Kever, Aaron Ma'ikal Amemar, Amar Abi Abo, B'Mutal Kivro, where the coffin was placed right alongside the grave. And so therefore in our Mishnah, we know for sure that he made it for a non-Jew. Okay. The next Mishnah. Osan lo kol tzarche emes. So now on Shabbos, you can do tzarche emes. Now, I'm with you. I hear you. I follow you. Just give me a moment. Let me think this through. It's going on. Yeah, it's going on the race. In other words, there are two parts of the Mishnah. The first part of the Mishnah was he makes it and you don't know why he made it. The second part of the Mishnah is he made it for a Jew. Okay. The question wasn't going on the Seifa. The same question was going on the Reisha. So in other words, he made it. Why not even suggest that he made it for the Jew? And that way you should weigh Bichta Shiasu. Right? And the Gemara says he made it by Sratya. There are no Jews that are buried by Sratya. In other words, it's Mucha Chamilsa that he made it for a non-Jew. Which, I do understand that, but then it becomes a little bit strange because no Jews are buried by the Asratya, and now you're going to use it? Okay, but that's basically how it's working. Dealing with the dead is a built-in steer on Shabbos, because you have a mace who dies on Shabbos, Rachman Atzlan, but it happens. You have a mace who dies on Shabbos, the mace is Muksa. Okay, now by Muksa, what does that mean? He can't move the body. Okay, it's Muksa. So now, you want to tend to the body, but you can't move the body. Okay, it's a built-in problem, but the Mishnah gives solutions. The Mishnah says, Osin kol tzarche ha-meis, you do tzarche ha-meis, tzachin, rab oil on the body, madichin, you can wash the body, or vashalo yasus bo aver, but you can't move a limb. So in other words, you tend to the body without moving the body. Moksa, the Isser of Moksa, we've said this already a number of times, the Isser of Moksa is really the Isser of movement. You're not allowed to move an object which is Moksa. But you could touch a muksa item, and in this case, not only can you, but you're supposed to, meaning you're supposed to tend to the mace, but the only thing on Shabbos is that you just simply can't move the mace. Now, obviously, it's going to be hard to wash the entire body if you can't move it, obviously. But again, the assumption is that whatever you can do on Shabbos, you'll do. Whatever needs to be done after Shabbos, you'll do after Shabbos. So, Yazis Bo Aver. Shomten Asakar Mikhtach Tav. You take the pillow away from his head. Now, why would you want to do that? So you got to understand that really one of your chief goals regarding a mace on Shabbos is that you don't want the body to decay. Heat will cause more decay. So what you want to do on Shabbos is make the body as cool as possible. So you take the pillow away from the head because the pillow obviously keeps the head warm. So you take the pillow away so that way you'll keep the body as cool as possible so that over the duration of Shabbos, the body does not decompose or decay at any accelerated rate. Obviously, when you move the pillow away, the head's going to move. That's called tiltum and atzad. That's indirect movement of the body. That's fine. That's fine by true by any moksa. Tiltum and atzad. Here is just simply an example of tiltum and atzad regarding the mace. Now this one's tricky. You could put him on sand. Now obviously again, the same idea. In other words, to keep the body cool. Now,
so you moved him?
In other words, it's got to, the mission has got to be talking about some sort of indirect movement. Bishvil shiyamtin, so that the body can wait. What that means, says Rashi, is that shelo yasriach machmas chom hasadin v'akarim. If right now the body is on pillows and on blankets, you want to transfer the body over to sand so that the body remains cool. Now, again, you can't pick up the body, so I'd venture to say that what the Mishnah means is that you're sliding the body off the bed. You tilt the bed, so the body slides off. Okay. Koshrin es halechi, and you tie up the jaw, meaning you don't want the jaw to open up. Now, lo, says the Mishnah, lo sheyale ela shelo yosef. Now, you can't close the jaw, because when you're closing the jaw, you're moving the body. So the only thing that you could do is just simply you want to keep it in place so that the jaw doesn't open up anymore. And similarly, although you're no longer talking about a mace, but the beam of your house is falling down on Shabbos. And you don't want the beam to fall anymore. You prefer your house not collapse on Shabbos. So what you could do is you could take a bedpost or a bed beam or any item which is a non-muksa item, and use it to support the beam. Not to push it back up, that you can't do, but just simply so that it does not fall any further down. The Gemara starts off right away, V'amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, Ma'isa, B'tami, Dusha, Rabbi Meir, Shenichnas, Acharav, Le'beis, Amerchus, Bikesh, La'adiyach, Karka. Now, the students of Rabbi Meir went into the bathhouse, and they wanted to rub the floor of the bathhouse. Amar Lo'in Medichin. So Rabbi Meir says he can't do that. La'soch, Karka, rub oil into the floor of the bathhouse. Amar Lo'in Sachin. And Rabbi Meir says, can't do that as well. Karka bekar. This is already the answer, so let me just simply present the question before I read the answer. The Gemara now wonders. So, why is Reb Meir saying no? And he's saying no to washing, he's saying no to oiling the floor. Why is he continuously saying no? Because the stones are moksa, and don't deal with it. And understood. What the Gemara now wants to know is that if you're not allowed to handle that muksa, so why are you handling the muksa mace? The question is pretty, the answer is very intuitive, but the Gemara spells it out. Karka bekarka mechlif, karka be mace, mace bekarka, lo mechlif. Look, handling the stones in of itself is not an issue. As Phil pointed out, you're not allowed to move muksa, but you want to rub muksa, it's fine. The problem is that when you start touching up the floor over here, and there's stones, and that's fine, but your next move, however, is that when you go back home, you're also going to start rubbing the floor, leveling the floor. That's part of the malach of bona. So we don't want any act of manipulation of the floor. Okay, good. Masha'inkin, when it comes to a mace, if we start now rubbing oil onto the mace, washing the mace, you understand it's a mace, it's not going to lead to any other malacha on Shabbos. Kol asuye mai. Now our Mishnah says the word kol. What is that coming to include? Hadatan rabbanim mevi a kli maker or kli matchos menichan lo kreso a kreso shelo tafuach. So what you can do is you can bring cooling items and metal items, put it on his stomach so that the stomach doesn't bloat. You don't want the stomach to bloat over the course of Shabbos. So you can put some weight down on the stomach so the stomach remains down. Or upokikin esnekavov, you can stuff up orifices of the body. Again, you're not moving the body, you're just inserting padding into the orifices so nothing comes out. Kadesh lo tikanes ben maruach. Sorry, so then nothing come in. The Av Shlomo Amar Bechachmaso, Ashlo Yuta Chevel HaKesef. So now, Shlomo, in Koheles, and you're going to be hearing a lot of this over the course of today and tomorrow, Shlomo in Koheles is talking about the decomposition of the body. Now, it's cryptic, meaning if you read Koheles, which we do annually, and we should do it a little bit more than that, once a year, but if you read Koheles, so you're not going to see this clearly, but cryptically, it is, Koheles discusses the decomposition of the body. It's Perek Yud Beis in Koheles, and it's a lot of Perek Yud Beis. The Pasuk says, Ashalo Yutak Chevel HaKesef, right? The silver rope, Azechud HaShedra, that's referring to the spinal cord. Vitarutz Golas HaZahav Ze'ama. The Golas HaZahav is talking about the male private area. Vitzeshaber kad al hamavua zehakeres. That's referring to the stomach. Vinarutz hagalgal el habor zeperes. It's a reference to the excrement. I'm going through this really quickly. I'm not giving you good translation of how we get from the pasuk in Koheles to the actual body part. Vechenu omer vizarisi peres al penechem peres chagechem. And another pasuk illustrates to us how the word peres is actually referenced to excrement. Amar Rav Huna, Amar La, Amar Rav Chaga, Elu Bnei Adam Shemanichin Divrei Torah VaOsin Kol Yemeim KeChagim. Now the Torah over here describes that after a person dies, his excrement is basically going to basically fly all over the place. Is this talking about every mace? No, it's speaking specifically about people who overindulge. Now I know just a short couple of days ago in the Daf we talked about those people who overindulge. Once again, the Gemara is going to hit that point and tell us that people who overindulge are going to really lose kavod as a corpse. Amar Rabbi Levi, Amar Rabbi Papi, Amar Rabbi Yeshua, La'achar Shloshim, Shloshiyam and Kreso Nivkas. These people who overindulge and therefore have too much food in their system, after 3 days their stomach will explode, V'nofel Slo Al Panav, and all that putrid waste which is inside of them is going to go right in their face. V'omer Slo Tomash and Asatabi, and it's as if the stomach is staying back to the face. Here, take it back. Okay, obviously very strong Muslim on the part of the Gemara regarding those people who overindulge. We start the next Mishnah in Ma'atzmin Estameis B'Shabbos V'lo B'chol Im Yitzias Nefesh. Now, on Shabbos you can't close the eyes. Again, it's the same problem. The mace is muksa, so you can't do any manipulation of the body. Even post-mortem, you can't close the eyes because that is moving muksa on Shabbos. V'lo b'chol. Now, imis yes and nefesh. Now, during the week, there's another issue, which is that if it's not post-mortem, it's the it is the right. As the body, as the neshama is leaving the body, you can't close the eyes at that point in time because you're accelerating death. And any acceleration of death, says the Mishnah here in Shabbos, is murder. Note the Mishnah doesn't say kishofech damim. The Mishnah says harizeshofech damim. That is murder. So you cannot accelerate death, even though you know death is impending. Nevertheless, you cannot do anything that accelerates that that point. Tana Rabbana amatzmam yisias nefesh harizeshofech damim. It is shofech damim. Mashal neir shekava v'oleches. It's like a flickering candle going out. Adam inechetz bo ala miyad kafta. Where the light's still there, you put your finger on it, you do the smallest act, the light's going to go out. Similarly, with the neshama leaving the body, it's flickering, you could do the smallest act, i.e. shutting the eyelids, and it will go out. Tanya Rabbi Shimon Gamla Omer HaRot Seshit Atma Enav Shal Meis Nofech Lo Yayim B'chotmo V'Nosen Shemen Ben Risei Enav V'Ochis B'Shnei Godlei Raglav V'Hein Mit Atmin Me'Aleihem. Okay, reflexologists, you're going to love this. You want the eyes to close, so the Gemara says that put a little bit of oil over the eyelids, blow into the nostrils. Please don't try this at home. And no saying shemen ben risei enav ve'oches b'shnei godle raglav, and then take the two thumbs of the toes or the two big toes, squeeze them, and the eyelids will close. Okay, I know reflexologists will yeah. I don't know how they figured it out, and they knew. They obviously knew things. Tanya Shimon Gamliel Omer Tinok Ben Yom Echai Mechan Olavas Shabbos. A baby 1 day old, you're Mechan Olavas Shabbos. David Melech Yisrael Meis, and if you have a corpse, even of David Hamelech, Ein Mechan Olavas Shabbos. There's nothing to do. The Meis, the body's Muksa. Tinok Ben Yom Echai Mechan Olavas Shabbos. Amar Torah Chil Olav Shabbos Achad Kidei Sheyishmor Shabbosos Harbe. I know you. Everyone knows this. Here's the Gemara. Right, Shabbos Kufnan Aleph. It took us a while to get here, but your Michal Shabbos. Why? It's an investment with unbelievable return because you save the life of a person on Shabbos. So now, what are you going to get out of that investment? He's going to be Shomer Shabbos for many years to come. Now, I know this only engenders the following question: what if he is not a Shomer Shabbos? So, and do we make any differentiation? You know the answer. You know the answer is we don't make any differentiation. Right, correct. In other words, you're right. He's not from yet. Okay. Right. He's a good candidate. David Melch Yisrael Mason Machan Lavas Kevin Shemes Adam Batam and Amitzos. And once the person's dead, so you have there's no return on the investment. Meaning he's not gonna be a Shomer Shabbos again, unfortunately. And not only that, he doesn't have to be Shomer Shabbos again. He's Batum and Amitzvos. Behind the Dam Rav Yochanan Mesim Chavshi Kemish Mesim Adam Nasa Chavshi and Amitzvos. Once a person's dead, that's it. He's Chavshi. Now he's on vacation. The Tanya Rav Shimon Malazar Omer Tinek Ben Yom Chai in Tzarek L'Shomer Min Achulda. The baby you don't have to protect from Echulda. Min Ha'achbar Ava Og Mel Chabash and Mes. But if you have even a giant who's dead, Gemara uses Og as an example. You have to protect him from all types of animals. Meaning, no longer is there fear. The animals do not fear. While you're alive, animals are intimidated by us. Okay, there's no reason why anyone should be scared of dogs. I know there are so many people out there. I got people in my own family. No reason you should be scared of dogs, right? They're afraid of us. But once the human is dead, so we no longer have the aima and the yira, and so therefore you have to protect them from the dead. I'm Rav Papa Naktina Narye Abe Trelo Nafel. Rav Papa says we have the following tradition: lions do not attack a pair of people. Aka Chazinan de Nafel. The Gemara says okay, but that's a nice rule. But empirically, we see otherwise. When people behave like animals, so they get downgraded. So in other words, they no longer are on the level of Adam, they're now on the level of Behema. And so therefore, they no longer exude that awe. Shenemar Adam, be careful. Yalin Nimshal ke Behemos Nidmu. Pasuk should sound familiar. It's a pasuk in Tehillim. We say it in the Beis Avo. I'm Rabbi Chanina, also Lisha Mevais Yechidi. Don't sleep in the house by yourself. Achol Yashem Mevais Yechidi. Achzaso Lilis, you'll be attacked by demons. I know, the Gemara speaks specifically about Lilis, but, okay. V'tanya Rav Shimon Malazar Omer, Ase Ad She'ata Motze, U'matzu Elecha V'otcha B'yadecha. Okay? Right. Rashi explains, a cryptic statement of the Gemara. Do tzedakah, Ad She'ata Motze, U'matzu Elecha, right, while you have money in your hands, so give tzedakah. But, in other words, that's not going to last forever. And ultimately, we're all going to lose our money. It may not be this generation. It may be future generations. Right, while you are young and capable, remember Hashem, because the Yemei Hara are coming. Because days will come where you no longer have the wherewithal. And the Gemara understands that to mean Yemos HaMashiach, there will be no longer any poor people. In other words, you will not be able to give tzedakah in the future in the Yemos HaMashiach because there are not going to be any poor people. So while there are there's opportunity in this time, in this day and age, you should give tzedakah. Shmuel's of the statement, which the Rambam, it seems to be that the Rambam subscribes to Shmuel's statement, which is, in the times of Mashiach, nothing changes. Meaning the world will look exactly as it looks right now. I know that does not sound like an elevated statement. It doesn't sound like there's a lot to look forward to, but the Jewish people will be autonomous. The Jewish people will have Eretz Yisrael, will have a Beis HaMikdash, will operate right like we should. The Pasuk says that there will never be a scarcity of poor people in this world, and the Gemara's understanding is even be Yemos HaMashiach. Tanya Rabbi Lazar Kafar Omer Lolam Yivakesh Adam Rachmim Amidazu. A person should have asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu Rachmanus, meaning, if you have money, ask Rachmanus from Hashem. Shimoloba ba beno, v'im beno loba, ben beno ba. Because even if poverty doesn't strike you, it'll strike your son. And even if it doesn't strike your son, it'll strike your grandchildren. Shenemar ki beglal hadavar hazeh. You see the word beglal? Golel. It is a big wheel, meaning money comes, money goes. You may have money, your children may not. Your children may have money, your grandchildren will not. It is a big wheel. It just simply goes around. Tanabe Rabbi Shmuel Gagal Husha Chosebala Mamar of Yosef Nakin and Aitzur Rabban Alom Ma'ainei. Gemara tells us another tradition, which is that you see Talmid Chachamim, they will not go poor. Again, the Gemara says, great tradition, but we look around, we do see there's poverty. The Gemara says, yes, that's true, but they never have to go knocking door to door, meaning they do get supported without having the embarrassment of knocking door to door. Rabbi Chila Devasai, ki asa einei akad mele rifta. Rabbi Chia instructs his wife, when a poor person comes to the house, give him bread. So that when our children start asking for bread, so people will, mida keneged mida, people will treat our children the same way that we treated poor. Amar le mile kalaitata, and she gets offended. I understand, that's how you're talking about our children, that they're going to be poor, that doesn't sound very nice. You're cursing them. Amar la krakaksiv. So Rabbi Chia says to his wife, curse. To pasuk in Chumash, ki beglal hadavar hazeh v'tan deber ishmal, gagalhu shechozer ba'olam. It is a huge wheel. Money comes, money goes. Tanya Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Omer, v'nosei lecha rachmim v'richam chava v'hir b'chal kol merachim ala b'rios, merachim ala b'na shamayim. If you are compassionate to others, the Kadosh Baruch will be compassionate to you. Mida keneged mida, major theme that comes up in the Gemara. Okay, we'll pause over here. Okay, we have so far today finished up the sugya of the machshech al atchum, understanding abashal, that for anything that you can ask somebody else to do on Shabbos, you can be machshech al atchum for dvar mitzvah, hachnasas kala, taking care of the mace, so it can be machshech al atchum. We did the Mishnah today. The Mishnah today paskens like Abba Shaul that you can be machshech al atchum for a dvar mitzvah. Then we talked about malacha done for you by a nachri on Shabbos If you know for a fact that he did malacha for you, you cannot benefit from it. Sometimes forever. Sometimes bichde shiasa. We gave one approach today in terms of how to understand when that would be true. What if it's a safek? Machlok is between Rav and Shmuel. The Gemara's conclusion seems to go like Shmuel, that you could be mekel. And finally, we talked about taking care of the mace on Shabbos, and the discussion will continue into tomorrow's daf. Continue Refuah Shlema for Binyamin Zevakon Ben Sharon Rivka, for Rafal Zak Avram Ben Yakira Avigal. Bechanan Ben Akash Amar Zakash Baruch Lizak Yisal Ficha Achir Ben Torah Mitzvah Shenemar Anai Chavetz Amatzikol Yakdil Torah Viyadir.